Good morning.
Good morning.
I still think that this side must be giving cookies or something. Because you see how everybody gravitates to this side, so there must be something being given away here that you guys are not doing. I just want you to know that you're not getting anything because you didn't sit on the right side, apparently. I am so glad that you're here to celebrate with us what God has done in this church, but in this community, and among us, our church family, and your family as well. So let me welcome you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our invited guest, and all those that follow us on Facebook over there. A very warm hello to you. Good morning and welcome. For those that don't know me, I have had the honor of serving United Methodist Cloudcroft as their pastor, and it is really an honor for me to do so. Today is a special day in our church, which the Lord has given us. We are celebrating Cloudcroft United Methodist Church 50th anniversary, all to the glory of God. We are honored today to have with us two former pastors and their wives. Reverend Clifton Hutton served the church first as the first pastor from the beginning worship services on May the 4th, 1969, until June 1972. Will you and your lovely wife, please, Peggy, stand up? Let them see you. And Pastor Lyle Lionberger and his wife served from June 1993 to December 1994. Will you and your lovely wife, Diane, stand and let them see you? We are honored by your visit and very grateful. We also have our distinguished district superintendent and my boss. Representing the Clovis District and the New Mexico Conference, Reverend Ernest Vineyard. We're equally blessed with his presence and that of his wife, Corrine, who will please stand, and we're delighted that he's bringing us the word today. We're also very privileged to have with us today Ms. Carla Jones, representing the Mitchell family. They were founding members of our church. She will be providing a solo during the service, and we're very grateful. We sincerely thank the Lord for giving us this very special day and bringing all of us together for this memorable celebration. What an amazing day and what a fantastic opportunity for all of us to come together to share in fellowship and praise. On behalf of Cloudcroft United Methodist Church, welcome one and all. God bless you.
The scripture lesson this morning is on page 1692 of your pew Bibles. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 21.
Says on the bottom.
Okay. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Now, how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." When Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Here in a time to adjust this morning. Well, I'm Carla Mitchell Jones. Some of you know who I am. And to me, this church has always been full of music. And part of that is because my grandmother played the piano every Sunday morning. And she said, "Hurry up and get the wood stove going. My fingers are cold. I can't play this way." So first thing you did was build a fire, because that was the only source of heat we had. But Judy said I had to mention I have the old Cokesbury hymnal. It's my favorite. I absconded with it 30 years ago. Because it's got my, it says Cloudcroft United Methodist on the front in my grandmother's handwriting. So I cherish it. And she, believe it or not, she's the first one to drag me up here for my first solo. Of course, it was over there in the sanctuary. And then I had my first a cappella solo. And, you know, it goes downhill from there. But anyway, the Cokesbury hymnal has always been very special to me, so I've just picked out a few hymns that I wanted to share this morning. Can you hear me okay? Or is this, it didn't stay up. It didn't stay. Maybe there.
I have trouble with it myself, but let's try. It's stripped out.
Wait, hold it just right, Jan.
Within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low, "Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad to him, cheer me so when I am sad. He makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Good morning. So Pastor Francis wanted one of the old folks to do this, but she got me instead. So late last year, I was asked to take over as the church historian. And if you came in the front door, you'll notice we had three-ring binders out there that had a lot of the old history of the church. And I got to going through those, and I found an article from 25 years ago that talked about the 25th anniversary of the church, so I got to figuring that we were coming up to our 50th anniversary. So I mentioned that to the congregation, and I asked for ideas about ways we could celebrate this very special time in our church history. And Judy Gillette happened to have a manuscript that was written by Mary Mitchell, and Mary and Richard and their family were founding members of the church, and Mary had written the history of the first 30 years of the Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. So we decided a nice project for our anniversary would be to publish that. And it was a lot of effort on a lot of people's parts. And 2 days ago, we finally get it. Very nice looking book. We had a committee together deciding what we should call it and whatnot. But we decided on Cloudcroft United Methodist Church, 50 years and growing. And as you come in, you can see there's a banner up on the outside of the building and down by the highway with that on it. So this is Mary Mitchell's history of the early church. And I've been a member almost 30 years here, so I remember some of this. Harry Reiser was the pastor at the time. Some of you remember Harry and Tammy and the boys. And this would have been when our fellowship hall here was the sanctuary, and that was pretty much the building right there. Judy Gillette also had, she said she got this possibly at the Copper Butterfly. It's a nice little framed painting of the original church building. And I thought another nice little project would be to get this reproduced. So I had it printed up as postcards, and we have a copy of the postcard in every one of the books. We will be passing these out during our luncheon. We would ask one per family, just so we make sure everybody has one. I've seen a lot of changes, and some people here have been here longer than I have, and have seen other changes, all for the good, and just gives us something to look forward to another 50 years, right? So, bigger and better all the time. I would like to, we had a number of people helping with this project, but I would especially like to mention Charlene Basham here did all of the typing on it, which was quite a task. And also we had Liz Beasley over at the Mountain Monthly do the layout for us and the cover. She did a beautiful job on that. And Karen did a lot of effort with our church secretary. She did a lot of the coordination between us and the publisher. So a group effort, but I think it came out very nice. And you can see that when you get your copy later. Thank you.
Now we have a word from Skip Pridemore.
Good morning. My wife and I started attending this church in 1996 and became members in 1997. And I remember so well coming in the south door there, the only door, and coming in and turning off to the right to go into the sanctuary, like I said, which is now the fellowship hall. And I think later the library was the fellowship hall. But I was here during the construction, but I was not retired. I was working a full-time job down in Alamogordo. So I didn't get to participate a whole lot. So I wanted to seek out to share some information about how this was constructed and what they went through by a gentleman named Wayne Bellin. And I'm sorry to say that Wayne and Margaret are not here. I didn't see them today, unless they've come in late. But many of you here know Wayne and Margaret Bellin. So I asked Wayne, I said, Wayne, since you were so much a part of it, could you write us a little letter and let us know how this came about? And Wayne sent this letter that I'd like to share with you so you'll know how blessed we truly are. The following are my comments and recollections of the building in the new sanctuary of the Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. First of all, there are no doubts in my mind of God's presence during every aspect of the construction of the new sanctuary. Cloudcroft United Methodist Church has definitely been blessed with pastoral leadership during its 50 years of existence. And in regards to the membership growth and eventual construction of the sanctuary, I wish to acknowledge three of the pastors who paved the way. They are Jay Armstrong, the addition of the new educational wing, Harry Reiser, taking the church from a two-point charge to a single charge, and Bill Sharp, during the construction of the new sanctuary. One of the first events comes to my mind after approval of the plans in building were given by the church council was the fundraising drive. The results of a fundraising was a definite testament to the presence of God. We had a very successful drive and were able to begin construction with cash on hand, a balance of $335,000. Wow. Raised by such a small congregation, I don't even think it'd fill in maybe half of this site over here during that time. So you can just imagine. One of the first steps in the construction process was the enclosing of the old sanctuary entrance and building a floor over the steps. This enclosure became my office, and it was my privilege to serve as the procurement officer of the church building committee. I prepared letters of solicitation and mailed out copies of the building plans to potential material suppliers and contractors. In this regard, the first bid solicited was for the site preparation, excavation, and et cetera, et cetera. The lowest bid was $35,000, which was too much for our pocketbooks. So Richard Mitchell went to Carlsbad, New Mexico, and purchased an old excavating machine that was was once used in potash mining, and hauled it to Cloudcroft, and with that old piece of equipment began excavating the basement foundation. Neil Mitchell, Richard's son, hauled off the dirt and rock from the excavation. During the excavating, they uncovered a boulder the size of a small Volkswagen Beetle. And needless to say, they had a struggle getting the boulder up and hauled away. Richard Mitchell paid $3,500 for the excavator, and trucking fees for hauling away the dirt and rock was about $1,000. In this regard, we saved over $30,000. During the excavation, a seam of coal was discovered running along, shame it wasn't oil, coal was discovered running along the east wall, which was about 8 inches wide and ran through the length of the east wall. The exterior walls of the sanctuary were constructed using a relatively new system of hollow styrofoam blocks, which were put in with rebar and filled with concrete. This system has greatly improved the insulation R factor against cold and heat. If I remember correctly, we used about 80 yards of concrete, and approximately 25 church volunteers helped spread the concrete. It was a great turnout. The foundation wall construction framing was accomplished by Bill Haas Construction Company. Bill and Sherry are longtime members of Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. And of course, you see Sherry up at the lodge all the time. The rock work and exterior and interior was done by Jim Dalton, Debbie Dalton's husband, a longtime member of this church. We encountered quite a few surprises when volunteers attempted to break through the north wall of the old sanctuary for the doorway that now leads from the fellowship hall to the parlor to the new sanctuary. After drilling a pilot hole, it was discovered that the wall was 16 inches thick. After drilling several more holes and attempting to break through with sledgehammers, we discovered we did not have the skill nor the tools. We were forced to employ the services of a professional demolition company. This was the first contract labor used in the construction of this church. By the time we got to the point of pulling up drywall, taping, bedding, we found ourselves running low on talent and volunteer members. Of course, the electrical and most of the plumbing was contracted out, including the exterior stucco. There are many other tasks that I would mention, but we'd wind up writing a book, he said. So in winding down, the building of this new sanctuary was without a doubt a testament of God's presence in our lives. The response of the membership was a wonderful experience. I've avoided attempting to name those who worked on the project because I did not want to omit anyone at that time, and age has dulled my memory. However, I do want all to know, in addition to the three pastors I named, I also feel that I must name these church members who gave a great deal of their time and talent, and they are Bill Haas, Richard Mitchell, and Larry Dempsey. I'm sure some of you remember Larry and his wife. In a summary, if I remember correctly, we built a $1.5 million structure for under $900,000. And he just goes on to say that among the many items donated was the cost of the bell tower. The bell tower came from the old Methodist church that was located in Sacramento. So I wanted you to know that. It was found at the Sacramento camp in the old Las Cruces building that was destroyed by fire during the bridge fire. Other donations, they donated pews, doors, windows, fans, lights, lecterns. He said, I could go on and on. And the ending, he said, I could go on, and I'm sure there are others who could share their experiences. In closing, I can only say again, it was God's presence that made this wonderful congregation and this building possible. Yours truly, Wayne Belling.
Our opening hymn this morning is on page 545. Please stand as we sing together, The Church's One Foundation.
Point of privilege. It's an honor to be here today among you. 50 years ago, we were not in such a glorious place. We were in a storefront on Borough Street. Was there anybody here that was back? I know the Mitchell. There's a couple back on that side.
In the front row, too.
In the front row. You were just a child then. Okay. Please join me responsively in the call to worship. Come, Holy Spirit.
The wind of God, the breath of life.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Our advocate, our counselor.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Granter of forgiveness, giver of peace.
Come, Holy Spirit.
May we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen.
Let us unite in this historic confession that those 50 years ago and 2,000 years ago, more or less, shared together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn your hymnals to 332. We'll sing verses 1 and 4 of Spirit of Faith Come Down. Spirit of Faith Come Down, reveal the things of God, and make to us the Godhead known. So with the blood, 'tis thine the blood to apply, and give us eyes to see, who did for every sinner die, has surely died for me. Inspire the living faith, which whosoever receive, the in themselves they have and consciously believe the faith that conquers all and doth the mountain move and saves whoe'er on Jesus call and perfects them in love.
You may be seated.
It's a joy to be back with you once again. You know, you don't have many relatives as you get older, but the church sort of fills in, doesn't it? And it's good to have friends and fellowship together. Will you join me, please, on the prayer of confession? Gracious God, you call us to your everlasting springs to be drenched and reformed, and we fail to hear you. We do not turn with love to our neighbors, to ourselves, or to you. Forgive us for our failings. Shield us from our due. Guide us into unity with all for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In compassion of the God who prays for us, with us, and in us, you are forgiven. For the sake of the one who was sent to show us the face of love and who died and rose, one with the Father and with us, we are forgiven. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, our Father,
Let us today give joyfully and generously with grateful hearts for all that you have given to each of us. Bless this gift and bless the giver. In your Son's name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We have to work around the flowers.
rested, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all our loss, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all our loss, leaning on the everlasting. Sing it, make it ring until the whole world sings along. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart.
Francis is driving.
It's time for our children.
Testing.
Wow, we just have all kinds today. Well, so everybody's out of school, right? So what did some of the kids that got out of school do, the bigger kids? Like if they were in 12th grade, what did they do? They graduated. Sort of like a diploma and their little hat. I couldn't find a hat. You would have thought I had one, but I didn't. Okay, so if they graduated from high school, what happens now? Darn, so they, now they got to go to some more school, huh? They got to go to college, okay? Or they could go to a trade school or learn something. What happens? We had some people graduate from college already. Then what do? Go to work. Or some people go to school again and get another degree. So, well, after they go to work, are they finished learning? Is that it? That no more school? Are they finished? Yay. Retired. Okay. Okay, well, let's say they became a doctor or something. Are they finished going to school? Or a lawyer? A school teacher? So they keep on learning. What about all of us out here? Are we finished learning? Yeah. Oh, no, I think we're always learning something. Just think. Oh, because of summer. Okay. Okay, oh, I agree. But some people do have to go to summer school, you know. So what about if we're always learning, always? Everybody out here had to learn something. Gosh, I don't even know. I can't use a smartphone or anything. I still have an old phone, so we still have to learn that. I have to call my daughter to learn how to do stuff on the computer, so we're still learning that. What about, do we graduate from learning about Jesus? Do we graduate, oh, we've read the Bible, we're finished. No. So are all of us still learning about Jesus? And who's teaching us a lot of that? Y'all, okay. Pastor Francis is, and if you go to Sunday school, or if you go to youth or anything, so you're always going to be learning about them forever, right? So you got to keep your mind open. Just because you learned it one way doesn't mean there's more to, not something else to learn, okay? Let's say a little prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to continue learning. And dear Lord, help us to use this information wisely. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Please let us recite together prayer of illumination. By the power of the Holy Spirit, open our minds to the Word. Let it reach our souls with its new light. Amen.
When Francis asked me, it's been a while ago, if I would come here and bring the message today, I was excited. And then I found out that you had, like, real preachers here. And so it's not quite the same. But they said they would stay behind me to hold me up at this time. So it is a blessing to be here. I've known many people throughout the last 30 years or so from this congregation, and I was blessed when I was assigned to be the district superintendent of Clovis District, that Cloudcroft is one of those churches in this district, and it is a blessing. I'm reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 11 through 17. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with and for me? Gracious Lord, what a great day to gather here, to celebrate, to hear from you, to learn from you, to give our all to you. And Lord, we thank you for your holy word and what it speaks to us. And Lord, may this be your living word, alive to us and in us. And Lord, use me today. Yes, even me, to speak words you desire. And Lord, may they be beneficial to your church. For it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love Pentecost. That's one of the exciting things about being here today, that it is the Sunday of Pentecost. I love what it stands for in the church. And, you know, we heard that at the first of the service, read that wonderful account that changed everything. You know, up to the point of Pentecost, we sort of had a church. I mean, the followers of Jesus existed, and they had seen Jesus after his resurrection. They knew that Jesus had some sort of plan for them, and they were even meeting together. But they had really not yet grasped their mission. And even though Jesus had told them before he ascended into heaven that they were to go into all the world and make disciples, it was still just them. The faithful followers of Jesus waiting for that something that would get them off center and move them into the future and get them on task. Pentecost, that was the event that would do it. You know, when Jesus first visited his followers on that night of his resurrection, he gave them a gift. He breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I have no doubt, if Jesus gives something, people got it. They received the Holy Spirit, but it's like none of them recognized it or they had any idea what to do with it. So they waited. And since they waited, I think God would show them the true power that had been given. And boy, did he show them. We heard it earlier. And then suddenly, wind, fire, new words. I mean, that commotion that was caused by this band of believers who had previously been meeting together and praying and waiting, came alive. And if we read on from that story, after Peter got up to speak in this impromptu worship service, 3,000 people were saved on that one day. You know, I've asked people many times to imagine being there with those believers on that day. And some have said, wow, I wish I was there. And others have said, boy, I'm glad I wasn't there. And I would guess that each of those groups were somewhat honest about their response. And some would say it doesn't really matter what happened on that day because that sort of thing just doesn't happen anymore. Especially in Cloudcroft, New Mexico. Well, we may not have a day exactly like that one. But I do believe the Holy Spirit can still be manifest in a powerful way to make things happen here that haven't happened in the past and can enable us to be the church that only God has envisioned. Do you believe that? You know, if I didn't believe that, I don't think I would stay in the ministry. I believe that even when church leaders or the pastor have trouble with a vision for the church, God has a vision. And it's greater than you or I could come up with anyway, isn't it, Francis? Do you think on that day when Peter got up to speak to that crowd that he had any idea what would happen? Do you think when they said, what do we do? And he told them that they would say, okay. You know, I like to talk about this sermon. And you read Peter's sermon in there. And what was it? 3 minutes? 5 minutes? Threw a little history in there. Maybe it was 6 minutes. And 3,000 people were saved. And I love to compare that to later in the book of Acts when it says Paul preached all night. And what happened? A guy fell out of the window and died. Something about short sermons, huh? Remember who Peter was. You know, he was the guy who said he would stand by Jesus no matter what. He would lay down his life for Jesus. He was strong, and in his mind, he was exactly the kind of guy Jesus needed. And I'm sure he thought, you know, if Jesus had just picked 11 more like me to be the 12, we'd take care of this. He wouldn't even have to go to the cross. He was the guy who knew so much and yet knew nothing. The one who was as strong as a bull, yet weak as a newborn baby. So what Peter had to learn was that it was not in his power that things would get done for the church. But it was in the power of the Holy Spirit. On that day of Pentecost, Peter spoke with new power, power from on high. And Peter was changed, and the church was born anew. Okay, so what about this passage I just read from Romans? Well, in Acts, we hear about this event, this exciting event. But in Romans, Paul brings it home not only to the church, but to you and to me. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And he goes on to say, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. And what Paul is saying here is that once we fully give our lives to Christ, when we receive his Holy Spirit, it is then that we become children of God, adopted into his family. See, Paul was writing his letter to a Roman church, and he was using Roman definitions. And this is the man who said, I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. And Paul's style was to speak to people in the language and customs that they understood so that they might come to know Christ. And the word adoption had a great meaning to the Roman audience that was hearing this. See, the Romans had a special way of adopting their own sons. It had nothing to do with taking an orphan child and making him a member of a family. See, by birth, we're related to God already. But see, the Romans acknowledged all of their children as part of the family. But when a boy came of age, he took him to the square, and they were recognized as a son. They were adopted. Getting all of the responsibilities and all of the benefits of being a part of that family. See, the disciples on the day of Pentecost came of age through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And no longer did they just follow Jesus around, but they became active, fulfilling what Jesus had told them when he said, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these. See, the promise fulfilled in the disciples is still offered today. And one of the mistakes that we as modern Christians make is that we tend to just read the scriptures as if they were something that happened, something to learn about the church long ago. We forget that these words were written that we might learn and realize that application for our lives today. And we read Acts and we see these guys as the ones who belong in the Christian Hall of Fame. What we need to do is read the Gospels and see who they were before the Holy Spirit and what they became, and then look at ourselves and what we can become. See, we're told in this passage from Romans that the Holy Spirit is offered to the church, and with the acceptance of that gift, we become children of God who have become of age, with all the rights and responsibilities of God's kingdom. And one of the most difficult things for people to grasp about following Jesus is the willingness to let him work in us by the power and strength of his Spirit. And I think it's because we still want to do it. We want to be the good Christian who works hard and accomplishes things for Christ. You want to be a good Christian? Learn the lesson that Peter learned. Don't try to do it all. Let God do through you what God does so well. Remember, in his mind, Peter's the one who had it all together, the ultimate follower of Jesus. And what happened on the night Jesus was arrested? Peter failed. But he discovered the true forgiving love of Jesus. And then he received the power of the Holy Spirit, and wow. 2,000 years ago, a church was born. And today, that church still exists. See, the church was never meant to exist. The church was meant to thrive. To be a church with God's power that draws others so they can receive God's power and do the same works of Jesus and draw others who do the same works who draw others. 50 years ago, in Cloudcroft, New Mexico, a United Methodist Church was born. And it's one of the ones I don't have to worry about saying, well, it was a Methodist church and then a United Methodist church, because it was always a United Methodist church. And here we are. In this building that we heard the story of how this building came about. But you know, when they met in a storefront, or should I say some of you met in a storefront, was it the church? Absolutely. Absolutely. This building's just a blessing that was built by faith and sweat and hands. Oh, yeah, and money. But by God's power. See, the biggest danger in the church, this one included, this congregation included, is the willingness to just exist. And like I said, the church was not created to exist. The church was created to thrive. And I ask you today, as you look forward to the next 50 years, or maybe 1950 years, do you want to thrive? Now, Methodists, you don't have to say yes or amen, but I do expect a nod every now and then. Okay. Yeah, something about some Methodists, they don't shout out much, but boy, can you nod. But my prayer for each of you and for this congregation is that you don't just choose to recognize Christ as your Lord. And not even do you just choose to follow him, but you open yourselves up to the inpouring of his Spirit, that these doors and even walls are opened up to the inpouring of God's Holy Spirit, that you cry out, Abba, Father, that God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And you live in such a way that others just can't help but want to be a part of it. And that's how I pray the next 50 years go for this congregation. Are you with me, church? Amen, amen and amen. Gracious God, you are so good. You adopted us. And many times, especially in my case, Lord, I go, why? You could have done better. But Lord, you choose us not for who we are, but for who we have the potential to be by the leading of your Spirit. So Lord, lead us by your Spirit. Lead each of us, lead this congregation into the roads and streets around Cloudcroft, New Mexico. And Lord, may your will be done. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is found on page 334. Please stand as we sing together, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. A sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face.
We'll be going next door to the fellowship hall for lunch. If you haven't made plans, stay. Right? There's plenty of food. It's just like the loaves and fishes. I'm going to bless it right now, and there's going to be plenty of food. So will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for your church. We thank you for what you have done here for the last 50 years and the lives that have been touched and changed and drawn to you. And Lord, we pray for the next years, however many that may be, Lord, that your Spirit may lead this congregation and that lives may be touched and changed and drawn to you. And Lord, bless this meal. Bless the conversations that go on around the table. And Lord, draw us closer to you that we might be exactly who you desire us to be. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen.
The line will start through this door.
Together we serve, united by love, inviting God's world to the glorious feast. We work and we pray through sorrow and joy, extending your love to the last and the least.
Somebody die in my church in the middle of the service. It was oh man, it was quite. We had a doctor, and it took four of the guys to carry him out. And you talk about what to do in the middle of the sermon. You don't know what you do, but you keep going. And then somebody says, "What did you do, preacher?"